Okay, morning. We have what to do in order to finish up the 8th parak of Brachos. We'll do that right now. We're going to get to, God willing, the 9th parak of Brachos, 9th and final parak of Brachos. But before we do so, let us get us back up to speed. Last thing we talked about is not saying God bless you. Okay, I'm quoting it out of context. You're allowed to say God bless you after somebody sneezes. But in the base medrash, the Gemara says the minog of some base medrash is not to say gesundheit, or as Rashi quotes, asusa, because Bittul Beis HaMedrash. Why did we? How did we get onto that discussion? Where did that come into the Gemara yesterday? So it's based on the fact that the Gemara talked about what happens when the nail is brought into the Beis Medrash after Shabbos ends. You have a group of people learning in the Beis Medrash, and so the light's brought into the Beis Medrash. And so the question is: do we make one unified bracha, which of course would be beautiful? On the other hand, by doing so, we're going to be disrupting people learning. So the Gemara cites a debate on this issue between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So Beis Hillel was favoring the group bracha, Rav Am Hadras Melech, and Beis Shammai says, no, I don't like that idea, as it will involve Bittul Beis HaMedrash. And then the Gemara quotes in the Beis Medrash, Rav Gamliel, when people would sneeze, so they wouldn't say Asusa, they wouldn't say God bless you, as that would be interruptive to people's learning. We'll continue on Nun Gemal Med Aleph. Today's daf is daf Nandalit. Now, here's the basic outline of the upcoming Gemara, just so you understand. Ner on Motzei Shabbos I can make a bracha on, but only if it was lit for the purpose of illumination. If there was any other purpose in which it was lit for, so therefore I don't make a bracha on such a fire. Even though, of course, it does provide illumination, but it has to be not only lit for illumination, but lit for the purpose of illumination. And as far as Besamim is concerned, so basically, I'm going to say it a little bit differently than the Gemara, but basically, just to get our heads around it, basically you don't make a bracha's Besamim on deodorant. Okay, meaning it may smell good, but it only smells good because it's getting rid of a bad smell. So if it's just a good smell to counteract a bad smell, so that you won't make a bracha on. We're going to go through both of these points. My time in Ner L'Chavad Hu David, B'samim L'Avur Recha Hu David. So the Gemara says like this. Look, it's really in our Mishnah, both of these points. Because our Mishnah says that you cannot make a bracha on Ner for a mace. Okay, when somebody dies, so there's a minug to light a fire next to the mace. Ad Yom Hazeh, until this very day, we have such a minhag. So the Gemara says, but that fire was not for the purpose of illumination, and so therefore you do not make a bracha on such a fire. And also, they would put some sort of fragrance next to the mace, on the mace, in order so that the mace would not smell. Okay? So that also, you don't make a bracha b'samim on, because that's la avure. That's just simply to get rid of smell. If it's the kind of fire where I'm going to be following the mace with this fire both during daytime and nighttime, so you don't make a bracha on it. But if I only bring out this fire at night, meaning I'm not taking this fire out of cover for the mace, but simply so I know where I'm going. So the purpose of this fire is for illumination, so then you would make such a bracha. Minhag Yerushalayim nowadays, I've been there, done that, seen it, is to bury at night. Minhag outside of Yerushalayim is not to bury at night, but wait until the daytime. But at night, though, so why is that? Because it's Yerushalayim, which is not a good answer. Which is, I guess it's Minhag Yerushalayim. I don't know. Amar Rav Huna b'samim shal beis hakisa v'shemen ha'asur la'avir ha'sazur ma'in mevarchan alav. B'samim in the bathroom. There's air fresheners in the bathroom. Well, there's a problem in general about making a bracha in the bathroom. But in other words, but aside from that, meaning more fundamentally, is that b'samim was only to get rid of a smell, and you don't make bracha in such a fragrance. V'shemen ha'asur la'avir ha'sazur ma'in also. If you're placing oil upon yourself in order to get rid of your smell, basically deodorant. We're talking about some sort of deodorant. The Gemara says, I'm going to challenge you on this premise, which is, anichnas lachanus shall bosem, you go into a fragrance dealer, a shop that sells fragrance, and you smell a good fragrance. So you're sitting there the whole day, you only make one bracha. But if you're going in and out, every single time you go in, you make a bracha. To which the Gemara says, so the Gemara starts off with an assumption, which is, that fragrance inside the shop, That's not for the purposes of fragrance, meaning you're looking to sell it. You're not looking to smell it. So the Gemara says, "In l'recha nami hu David ki'echad anir chuinshe v'nesa v'niz ben minay." Right. Bakeries do this, and they do such a good job with this. Oh, in other words, they want the fragrance. It's not true. The Gemara says your assumption is wrong. Your assumption is they don't want the fragrance. Of course, they want the fragrance. That's going to attract the customer. Same thing with the bakery. I'm not saying you make a bracha on the bakery, but it's the same basic idea. You want the fragrance. You're going passing by a city and you smell a pleasant smell. Well, it depends. If the majority of the inhabitants of the city are not Jewish, you don't make a bracha. But if the majority of the inhabitants are Jewish, so then you do make a bracha. Now, Rabbi Yossi, I feel Rabbi Yisrael, I'm in a mavarch, I'm in a nation of Bnei Yisrael, Mekashal Sluch Shafim. Now, Rabbi Yossi makes a statement which, at first glance, seems a bit extreme. He says, even if the majority of the inhabitants are Jewish, don't make a bracha because you know those Jewish women, Mektaros Lech Shafim. They're all witches. Now, again, I said it. It sounds extreme. So Hatukulu Lakshafim Mekatron, so the Gemara says, is that fair? Meaning some of them, okay, maybe. Okay, even there, I mean you can argue. But some of them maybe, but all of them? So Havale Miyuta Lakshafa Miyuta Namla Gamar Sakel and Shakar Ruba Dalav Larecha Avin. Vachoruba Dalav Larecha Avin Lamavarch. So the Gemara says like this. Now, that's not what Rav Yossi meant, and obviously the vast majority of Jewish women are not witches. Okay, and you can quote me on that. Okay, I'll stand by that statement. So I'll support it. So, but what the Gemara means is like this, is that when you go by a city and you smell a pleasant fragrance, chances are that the majority of those fragrances that you're smelling are not bracha worthy. Meaning some of them is because deodorant, meaning it's just getting rid of a bad smell. Some of it is, maybe some of them do engage in a little bit of witchcraft. But in other words, when I piece together all the various smells that are coming out of the city, a good part of them, let's even say the majority of them, are not bracha worthy for one reason or another, and so therefore don't make a bracha. I'm Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, HaMalach Bar Avi Shabbos was Betzveri, of Amosi Shabbos was Betzipori, Ve'erich Reach, Eino Mevarech. You know, you're walking Tveri on Erev Shabbos, or in Motzei Shabbos, you're walking town next over at Tzipori. Not the town next over. Takes a little bit to trek from Tveria to Tzipori. Yeah, I know. So Mimnei, but Eino Mevarech, but don't make a bracha. Mimnei Shechaz Kasu, I know also Allah Legamer Vos the Kalim. Because there, in Tveria on Erev Shabbos, the minhag is that they would steam their clothing. They would fragrance their clothing. Right? Take clothing, put it right over basically they deodorize their clothing. And in Tzipori, the minhag is to do it after Shabbos. Now, Gemara gives no explanation why in Tzipori they do it after Shabbos, as opposed to in Tveri they do it before Shabbos. Okay, I'm sure there's more behind that, but I don't have any more to give you right now. You walk through the marketplace of an Akum, of idolaters, and you try to get a good smell from those idolaters. So the Gemara says, you are a chote, that is not good. So now, when exactly do you make the bracha on Ner? We're now on the top of Nun Gimel Amud Beis, and very, very practical Gemara coming up. When do you make this bracha on Ner?
When you pass a tree or something, do you say bracha or not? I mean, like, is it?
From the Gemara, it sounds like you do. Meaning, the purpose of it has to be for good fragrance. But yeah, sounds like the Gemara that you do. Ein mevarchen al aner ad sheyeuso. Okay. Now, you do not make a bracha on ner until you get benefit from it. That's what the Mishnah says. There are going to basically be two opinions in the Gemara: Rav Yehuda Marav and Rava. In terms of what exactly does the Mishnah mean? With precision, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that you benefit from it? So we start off with Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Lo Yuzu Yesu Ma Mishal Kol She'ilo Omid Bekarav Mishnah Mishal Rav Afilo Berichuk Makom. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, don't take the Mishnah that literally. The Mishnah does not mean that you have to be up against the fire, actually benefiting from the fire. But if you moved closer to the fire, and you would have gotten benefit from it, That's enough. So in other words, even though you're standing at a distance and you see the fire and you're not actually benefiting from it, but as long as there could be benefit from it, sufficient. Excuse me. And Rav Ashi says the same pshat as well, Meisvei. And the Gemara says, is this correct? We're going to learn a tosefta together. So the Brisa says with very clear precision that you have to not only see the flame, you have to be mishtamish la'ora, you have to get benefit from the flame. So it sounds like that this Rav Yehuda Amarav's loose interpretation of the Mishnah is not correct.
When we leave the lights on in the shul, we get.
Well, hold on. That's you're already going halach lamasa. Slow down. We still have a little bit of Gemara to go through. Now, Bishlam and Mishamish Laura Velo Rosh Alhefis Mishkachala Dekaima Bekaren Zavis. Now, the idea of benefiting from a light but not seeing the actual flame, so that you can easily imagine. Let's say you're just simply standing on one, in other words, let's say there's a 90 degree turn, and the flame's on one side of the turn, and you're on the other side of the turn. You could see the, you won't see the flame, but you'll see the light. But what's the other scenario? Seeing the flame but not being able to see the light? Lav de merchakala. So the Gemara says, "Hechi mishkachala." Lav de merchakala. It must mean that you're at a distance. Lo kegon de amya va'azla. The Gemara says, "No, that the flame was diminishing; it was going down." Tana Rabbanan. Okay, so at this point in time, the Gemara has not rejected the opinion of Rav Yehuda Amarav nor the opinion of Rav Ashi. We'll get to the halacha in just a moment, but. Their interpretation of the Mishnah is you don't have to actually get benefit from the light as long as there's potential. Glowing coals, right? We see this a couple times throughout Shas. Glowing coals is treated like a fire. It's like a flame. Even though it's not a fire in the sense that you don't see the actual flame, but nevertheless, glowing coals is treated like a flame. And so therefore you make a bracha on it. So in other words, for your Havdalah, if you have glowing coals, you have a fireplace, so you can make a bracha on that fireplace. Almost, however, if they are dying, dimming, ein mevarchin aleihem. So now we have to make some sort of distinction between glowing coals and dimming coals. So hechidam eloch shos amrev chista kol shilo machtas atocha kisim v'dolekes me'alaham. So when we say glowing coals, what we mean by that is, if you take some twigs and you throw it into the fireplace, and the twigs come and get burnt without you having to fan the flames or doing anything else, that's glowing coals. Dimming coals are which, when you put twigs on, the twigs don't light up on their own. Ibailahu, omamos or omamos? Now the Gemara asks a technical question. The word omamos, is it with an aleph or with an ayin? So for me, it makes no difference. I don't pronounce them differently than one another. But if you read Hebrew correctly, right, that's an ayin, that's not an aleph. Ayin's pronounced differently than an aleph. So Tashma, Damar Rav Chista, Bar Avdimi, Arazim, Lo Amamuhu, Began Elokim. Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yecheskel. The pasuk in Yecheskel is spelled with an ayin. Gemara says correct spelling and therefore pronunciation is going to be an ayin. Okay, now all this was the opinion of Rav Yehuda Amarav. So again, Rav Yehuda Amarav says in our Mishnah that you don't make a bracha over here until you benefit. It doesn't mean actual benefit, it means potential benefit. So Rav Amar Yehuso Mamish. Rav says, no, I disagree. I think that you only are going to be able to make a bracha over fire only when you get actual benefit. Now, truth of the matter is that his pshat is really simple pshat in the Mishnah. Meaning when you read the Mishnah again, and you just look at the top line of this daf, Ein mevarchin al haner ad sheyeuso, until you get benefit. So really, it's a simple pshat. V'chama, now Amar Ula, kidei sheyaker bein isa lepundayon. Meaning, what degree of illumination do you need in order to call a benefit? Well, if I could take two coins together, right? I'll use American currency, even though it might not be a good way to say it. But if I, you know, the difference between a nickel and a quarter, okay. In other words, enough light to be able to discern between two different coins. Chizkiyah Amar Kidei Sheyaker Bein Meluzma Shel Tver LeMeluzma Shel Tzipori. Again, second time today, the cities of Tver and Tzipori side by side. So there are weights used in Tveri and there are weights used in Tzipori, and apparently they're not the same weights. I don't know what that means, but whatever, whatever that means, in other words, enough light to be able to see the difference between these two different weights. Rav Yehuda mevarech ad be'ada da'ila. Now Rav Yehuda, on Motzei Shabbos, he would make a bracha from light that came from the house of his waiter. Now Rashi points out his waiter didn't live next to him. In fact, his waiter lived in the servants' quarter, which was some away from where Rava was living. But nevertheless, though, he would make a bracha. Now, as Rashi points out, this is Rav Yehuda, consistent with what he said at the very top of the Amud, meaning that you don't actually have to benefit from the light as long as you are potentially capable of benefiting from the light, meaning if you were to move closer, you'd benefit from the light, so that'd be good enough. And so Rav Yehuda over here is being consistent with his position earlier. Rava mevarecha debe guria bar chama. Now Rava, when he would make a bracha on light, he would make a bracha on a light that came out of the house of Guria bar chama. Now Rashi points out over here that they're close by. And Rashi then points out that this is Rava being consistent with what he said just four lines ago in the Gemara, where you actually have to get benefit from the light. Abai mevarecha debe baravua. Now Abai would make a bracha on be baravua. Now, truth be told, I don't know where Abai holds on all this. Meaning, is he holding like Rava? Is he holding like Rav Yehuda Amarav? Good. I'll let somebody figure it out. I'm Rav Yehuda Amarav, ein machzirin ala or kederech shemachzirin ala mitzvos. Now, Motzei Shabbos. You can't find the nair. Okay, it happens. Or, let's say you ran out of nair and you didn't get a new one for this week. That's also happened to me. So the Mishnah says, sorry, not the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Amarav says, ein machzirin. Okay, this is not ma'akev. Meaning it's nice, it's a good thing, but your Motzei Shabbos does not have to be spent looking for a fire. It's not like another mitzvah. I'm Rav Zera Meir Shava Mahadrina. Now Rav Zera says, originally I would hunt down a fire on Motzei Shabbos. But Kevin Deshamalu Rav Yehuda Amarav, ana nami lo mehadrina. Me, I wouldn't hunt it down. If it happens that I got a fire, so I'd make a bracha on the fire. But in other words, this isn't the kind of thing where you need to really seek and search for a fire. One of the final topics in the Mishnah that was discussed and debated between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was forgetting to bench. Do you have to go back and to the same place where you ate, and do you have to bench in the same place where you ate? So interestingly enough, it's a machloks between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Now that's not interesting, meaning we have a lot of machloks in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Who does the halacha follow? So stay tuned. Amar Zid V'itemer Avdimi Bar Abba Machlokes B'Shachach. The debate between the two is when you forgot. Meaning, you ate a meal, and then slipped your mind. Okay, it happens. Even for the people who are very careful about benching, but in other words, our minds are a little tricky. Right, we're not computer, we're not robotic, and we can forget. It can happen. So now we have a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Ava b'mezid divrei halakha yachzor, but b'mezid, everyone agrees, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, you have to go back. Now, practically speaking, by the way, let's see if we can put this into some sort of lamasa, meaning mezid. What does that mean? That means the guy says, I know I should be benching right here. I don't care. I'm moving away. So now, what's the halacha? The halacha says for you, you got to go back. It's kind of funny, meaning this guy already is amazing. Right.
He wants to bench, but he doesn't want to bench here.
He doesnant want to bench here. So we tell him, you got to go back. Well, I mean, I'm saying he's already exhibiting a little bit of defiance to begin with, and now the halacha is addressing a person who doesn't seem like he wants to be addressed much. So,
what if the place became like disgusting around
it? That's a different story.
That's
more like onus.
Yeah.
We're talking now about the person who either forgot or does not care to bench here, but wants to, you know, whatever, I'll bench later. I'll bench later. Okay. So, divrei hakol yachzor. So, I understand the halacha, I just don't understand the actual person. This person's a strange person, where deliberately he walks away, and then we say to him, oh, you know, you got to go back, and he says, oh, you're right. I got to go back. Okay. Anyway, but people are strange, and so, you know. Okay, so Yachilim Kama. V'yivarech, Sapshita V'shachach Tanan. Now the Gemara says, okay, this distinction between Shogeg and Mezid, right, isn't it self-evident? Meaning, that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that if you forgot, so why would you think it'd be the same if it were intentional? So Mao de Temu Hordina Philip Mazev Hidek Tani Fishakhlo Dicha Koch de Beishamai Kamashman. Well, maybe what the Mishnah was trying to show us is Beishamai is a real, he's a real hardliner. Meaning that not only in Mazed do I need to go back, but even by Shogeg I need to go back as well. You could have read the Mishnah that way, you could have understood the Mishnah that way. That's the point. No, when it comes to Mazed, we all agree. You got to go back. Both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Tanya Amar Lahem Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai. Here we go, Braisa. Gives us a little bit of a dialogue between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And here Beit Hillel starts off with the following point. What do you want a person to do? You want a person to actually have to go back? And go back to the place where he benched? Meaning that's a tircha. That's a lot of work. So Amr Lahem Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Now Beit Shammai's counterpoint, it's great Musar. L'divrechem ishashachach arneki b'rosh abir lo yala v'yitlenu l'chavar atzmo hu o'la l'chavar shamayim l'kol shakein. Let me ask you a question. You forgot your wallet somewhere. Right? Or we can even talk more contemporarily. You forgot your cell phone somewhere. You're not going to run back and go get it? Of course you would. So in other words, for an item which has financial worth, you're going to run back. So kavod shamayim. Mm-hmm. So for a kadosh baruch hu, you're not going to go back. For a mitzvah, you're not going to go back. Lo kol shekein. And it's funny because it's such a good point by Beit Shammai. Meaning, if we do think about these things and we put into perspective, it's true, right? He's right. Agreed. He's right. And okay, hanu trei tamide chachamim. Sorry, I stuck that word in. Hanu trei tamide. Right, you're right. Right, chachamim definitely does not belong here, as you'll see as we go through the story. Hanu trei tamide chadavet b'shogeg kebeit shamai v'shgachach arnika d'dahava. So one student forgot to bench, and he said, "You know, Beit Shammai says I should go back. You know, I'm going to go back." Now it's interesting. Usually, machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. What do we do to the opinion of Beit Shammai? Usually, almost always, we ignore it. We ignore it. In fact, we normally say Beit Shammai b'makom Beit Hillel ain't no mishnah, meaning we just it's not an opinion that we normally take into consideration. So as you can see over here in the Gemara and the Halacha, same as well, hedges a little bit in terms of who we follow over here. I mean, if you take a look at the Halacha, Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Brura, they say that really the best thing to do if you forgot to bench is to go back and return. Even though if you forgot, and even though Beis Hillel says you don't got to go back, but it's better to go back. You see that in the Gemara. And in fact, this person who went back, he was rewarded, Arnika de Dahava, he found a golden wallet. Now, I'm not promising, nor I believe the Gemara is not promising, that that's what's going to happen when you go back and you bench. But the point is that there is value to going back and benching. It is not just simply a position of Beit Shammai and therefore ignore it.
Shouldn't they give it back to the
whoever lost it?
That's not
the
point.
Now, the other Talmud, so he, by intent, on purpose, did not bench where he ate. He figured, you know what, whatever, I'll bench whenever, wherever, and b'mezid. And of course, he was consumed by a lion. Okay, Rabbi Barbachana Avakaza b'Sherusa. Rabbi Barbachana was on a caravan, so he was on a bus, he was on a train. Achal v'ishtale v'lo birech. So he ate and he forgot to bench. Amar hechayavid. Now he's thinking to himself, now what do I do? Because not only am I on the train, but on this bus, so many other people on this bus. Now imagine, I tell to the bus driver and I say, you know, turn this bus around right now. I need to go back because I need to bench where I am. So he's going to look at me and start blinking. And everyone else on the bus is going to look at me and they're not going to start blinking. Correct.
They're the bus.
Right. You want to go back? Sure. And they'll throw me right off the bus. So, So they're going to say to me, oh, what are you doing? You're benching to God? So come on, Uncle Maishi taught you this. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. So in other words, don't worry, God's here, He's listening to you right here. Okay, you don't have to go back to where you ate, please. Mutav da'amin aluhu, now here's where the Gemara gets a little strange. Mutav da'amin aluhu in chai, yona de dahava. So I'm going to tell everybody that I forgot my yona de dahava, my golden dove. Now I will say this. What's he doing with a golden dove? Okay. I get the basic point of the Gemara, and in fact, the Gemara itself is going to wonder why he said Yonah as opposed to anything else. But what are we talking about over here? A trinket? Okay. So I'm a lohi internally the insha Yonah the dahava. So he says, just wait for me, guys. I got to run back. I got to pick up my golden dove, and I'll come back over here. So essentially, he, for lack of a better term, he lied. Okay. And I know that part of the story is strange. I'm aware. So, but he went there, he benched, and what? And lo and behold, what did he do? He found Yonah did the Hava. So when he comes back, he was proven not to be a liar. Okay, it helps, but not really, though. In other words, because at the time when he said it, did he know he was going to get one? Okay, and so is the Gemara condoning his story? So that he could better follow the halacha? Oh, that's a tricky one, I don't have clarity on that issue. Now, why do you say Yonah? So he says because the Jewish people, Knesset Yisrael, is compared to a Yonah. Dechsev kanfe Yonah nechpa bekesef ve'avrusa biyirakrak charut shimmering gold. My Yonah ino nitzalas ella bechnafeha. Now Yonah, what's its defense mechanism? Its wings. Af Yisrael ino nitzal ella bemitzvos. The Jewish people, what's their defense mechanism? Mitzvos. So in other words, in the context of the story now, we can go back and we can understand one degree better the story, meaning I left my Yonah there, meaning I left my mitzvah over there. I benched and my benching will be better if it's done over there. That's my mitzvah, that's my Yonah. That's our Yonah. Okay. Anemasaihu Kamashi Yeriko. Okay, question which most people do not know the correct answer to. After you eat, how long do you have afterwards until you bench? So you're going to hear most people say 72 minutes. Okay, that's the typical answer that you're going to hear. As you'll see the Gemara, that's not accurate. I'm Rav Yochanan calls munchin arrive. So Rav Yochanan says as long as you haven't lost your appetite. Okay? Before the meal you start snacking and mom says to you, don't do that, you're going to lose your appetite. That's not true. I mean, don't do it because mom said don't do it. But that's not totally true. You'll get your appetite back. Right? Appetites are good like that. They do come back. Kozman Shein arrive, but as long as you are still satiated from your meal, you have the opportunity to bench. Now, Reish Lakish says, as long as you are thirsty from the meal. Now, the Gemara over here says 72 minutes. Oh, here's those 72 minutes. Lo kasha kan be achila meruba, kan be achila mu'etes. Well, says the Gemara, it depends. If it's achila meruba, if you have a large meal, so then as long as you're full. And if it's a small meal, so then it's going to be mu'etes. Then it's going to be 72 minutes. Now, what exactly is that distinction between large meal and small meal? So perhaps the difference is bread versus other foods. Perhaps the difference is that you ate a lot versus eating a little. So it's not 100% clear. But if you're having a standard bread meal, and we're talking now about benching, so the halacha is like Rav Yochanan, as long as you're still full from that meal, so you have the opportunity to bench. I know that's not it's not quantifiable in a way in which we could like look at the clock, and it really depends on how you're feeling and your stomach, but that's the halacha. Balahem Yayin. So the Gemara says, now, you didn't hear the whole bracha, and you can answer Amen. But by not hearing the whole bracha, so you haven't fulfilled your obligation. So the Gemara says, look, you're not saying Amen because you want to make the bracha. You're saying Amen just for the simple fact that you're saying Amen. Meaning that you're not drinking wine. You're just watching and seeing somebody else drink wine. Your Amen over there is not to be yotze with the bracha. Your Amen is just simply an affirmation, an agreement. Right? Good. I like that bracha. I concur with that bracha. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Abaravu, b'shloach l'imahen. V'chein I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Abaravu, b'shloach l'imahen. I'm Rav L'chia B'rei, Rav says to his son Chia, B'ri chatof uvarech. Now, you're either going to be on the bracha side of a bracha or the amen side of the bracha? The Gemara has an interesting discussion over here. What's better? Is it better for you to say the bracha, or is it better for you to hear a bracha and answer amen? Okay? So, this is subject seems to be a debate in our Gemara. Excuse me. Rav tells his son, Chia, you're the one making the bracha. Chatof, grab the food. In other words, make sure that of the two, you're the bracha maker, not the amen maker. V'chein amar Ravuna l'rava b'rei, chatof ubarech. And Ravuna says the same thing to his son as well. So l'memra d'mavarech adif m'man d'ani amen, v'atanya Rav Yossi amar gadol anel amen, yoser m'na mavarech. So Rav Yossi says, amen is better. So amale Rav Nurai ha-shamayim kenu. And Rav Nurai says, I totally agree. Tedesh arei, gul yaron yardin, umitagrin b'melchama, v'giborin yardin umenatzchin. The Gemara says, let's compare this to a battle. So who goes out first? That's the front line. Who do you put out there on the front line? Schleppers go out there on the front line. Right, people who don't, right, okay. Yeah, and then what happens is that after the first wave, then the Giborim. So now, right, I know it's a strange comparison, but now let's put that in terms of a bracha. So what do you have first? You have the bracha. That's the front line. And then what do you have next? A main. That's the Giborim. Tanai, the Gemara says, this is in fact subject to a debate. What's preferable, the bracha or the amen afterwards? Titanya echan avarch ve'echan onei amen, b'mashma. Elisha maman le'mavarch yosem ena onei amen. This brisa says, be the mavarch, don't be the one who says amen. Okay. And the Gemara leaves us unresolved, what's better? Making the bracha or answering amen? V'aymin eishmo me'rab ma'ul anas amen achar tinoko shal beis rabban. Can you say amen after a child making a bracha? So amalei achar kol onin amen chutz mitinoka shal beis rabban hol v'lislamid asuyin. Well, if they're just learning brachos, and all they're doing is just learning how to make a bracha, but this is not an actual bracha, so then don't answer amen. Now, but if they're being maftir, now what does that mean exactly? So there is an interesting Rashi over here. Rashi says we're talking about haftarah. Meaning if the child is making the bracha on haftarah, which means that he's saying the haftarah, so then you're going to answer amen. And Rashi also says, we're not just talking about haftarah, we're also talking about Kriyas HaTorah. A child can read the Torah, says Rashi. Okay? So it's interesting. Some communities have a minog. Svardim do this, I believe. Right? Where they have a child say Haftorah. In the Ashkenazic circles, it's not done. I heard about communities who do this. But it's generally speaking, it's not done. Okay. By the way, a simple pshat in the Gemara, which is not Rashi's pshat, but a number of other Rishonim say it, is that when the Gemara here says maftirin, it doesn't mean haftarah. It just simply means that if they're saying the bracha to pater themselves, meaning I'm not in school, I'm not in the classroom, but I'm actually out in the field. I'm making a bracha, legitimate, real bracha. Even though it's a child, you're going to say amen after that bracha. Tanu Rabbanan. Shema ma'akev is a bracha divrei Rabbi Zilai. Rabbi Zivai Omer Eina Ma'akev. Rabbi Acha Omer Shemitov Ma'akev. After the meal and after you wash your hands, Ma'am Achronim, so then you rub a little oil on your hands. Okay, now I know we don't do this, but the Gemara says it's important. This oil, this rubbing of the oil is important. And the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbi Zilai that says it's Ma'akev. It's so important that you can't bench until you rub the oil. Now Rabbi Zivai says, well, it's not Ma'akev. And then Rav Acha says, well, if it's good oil, if it's fragrant oil, that's good. So and not only is it good, it's ma'akev. You can't bench without it. Rabbi Zuhumai Omer Kishem Shemezuam Pasul La'avoda Kach Yadayim Mezuamos Psulos Lebracha. Well, just like if you are of a foul odor, you can't do the avoda. If your hands are of a foul odor, you can't make bracha. So this oil is really important. Now, I will highlight the names of all the people that we just quoted. Rabbi Zilai, Rabbi Zivai from the word Ziv, which means splendor. Rabbi Zuhama. Okay, actual names or names, kind of like nicknames, if you will, that's connected to the halacha. Now, from the last one that was provided, certainly seems like a nickname. Meaning, Rabbi Zuhama says something about Kishem Shem Mizuam. So you see that the name is right? Is related to the halacha. Okay. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Anan Lo Zilai Velo Zivai Velo Zuma Yadana. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, I don't know who these people are. And I bet you that if you did a search in Shas, and we have engines that do that now, search engines that do that, right? We should be able to do that, but okay, that's, you know, we already heard enough Musar today. So, but I don't think you're going to see these names come up again in Shas. I'm suggesting. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, I don't know these people. Meaning, I don't know these positions. Elamas Nisa Yadana. I know Abraisa. I'm Rav Yudam Rav. I'm Rav Masisa Tanam Vizkadash Tam. You're going to be holy. Elamayim Rishonim. That's referring to the Mayim Rishonim. That's washing before you eat. Vayisim Kadoshim Elamayim Achronim. That's the washing after you eat. Otherwise known as Mayim Achronim. Ki Kadosh Zeshemen. And then the pasuk says, and you're going to be holy. That's referring to the oil. Oil gives you another level of kedusha. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Zu Bracha. And then the finality of the pasuk of Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's a reference to the bracha. Okay. So now what comes out from this Gemara over here is that wash your hands before you eat, wash your hands after you eat, a little rubbing of the oil on your hands after that, and then you're ready to bench. What happened to my Machronim? Right? I know, for some of you, that's not even a question, because some of you are careful about my Machronim. But for the rest of us, like, what happened to my Machronim? How come there are people that are not careful about my Machronim? Well, you could just simply say they're just not careful about halacha. Okay. But for Mayim Achronim, however, there is another explanation. And you can see Tosis over here. Tosis says this a couple times in Shas. And over here, he writes, Dafka lahem nishayu regimli tol yedeh machra se'uda mimnei melech sedomis. Right? So it's a classic Tosfos. It's a famous one. You know, this Mayim Achronim, they did that because their hands were dirty. They had the melech sedomis. Now, I don't know. In other words, I understand, but I really don't. Sodomite salt, right? It goes into your eye, it blinds your eyes. Right, that part I understand. But we don't have the salt anymore. So it's not ma'akev, right? We could bench even though we didn't do Mayim Achronim. Okay, and then Tosfos says that if there are people out there who have the custom of washing their hands at the end of every meal, so you should wash your hands at the end of every meal. Gets on to a topic of discussion, which we are not going to have right now, but I'll just simply introduce the topic, which is, if the Chachamim give us an institution, a takana, and they tell us the reason why behind the institution, and the reason no longer applies, so does the takana go away? So here's a case study. And there are other case studies out there. But here's a case study where Tosfos says, well, we don't have Melech Sedomis anymore, so therefore we don't have to do Mayim Achronim anymore. Obviously, there's a slippery slope involved in all this, meaning, you know, you can go place, you can arrive to conclusions over here that are not fair and valid conclusions. So again, it's a big topic. And I only introduce the topic. We start now the ninth perek of Brachos, the ninth and final perek of Brachos, and we begin. So you visit a place where the Jewish people experienced a miracle. Omer, so you said the following, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech olam she'asa nisim la'avosinu b'makom hazeh. Make a bracha. Now, I know the Mishnah doesn't have the words Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech olam, and I know I added those words into the Mishnah. I did so because of Tosfos. Tosfos says that every time we see the word Baruch in the Mishnah, so it means that it's a bracha. Now we know as a definition of a bracha is that every bracha has to have shame and malchus. So the word baruch is just a code for shame and malchus. Malkum shenekro mimenu akum. If you see a place where you had idolaters and they were eradicated from that location, so you make a bracha, baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech olam she'akar akum me'artzeinu. The idolaters were driven out of our land. Tosfos quotes a Yushalmi. It has to be, the Yushalmi says, where they were totally eradicated from the land of Israel, and not just simply pockets. Alazikim alazos v'ala ra'amim, comets, earthquakes, thunder, alaruchos v'al habarakim, wind, strong winds, hurricanes, and lightning, omer baruch shekochu gvrasim alei olam. Al haharim, mountains, gevaos, hills, yamim, oceans, ala naharos, rivers, v'ala midbaros, and deserts omer bercha to Hashem l'kei machlom, oseh breishis, or there's another nusach in the Mishnah, oseh maaseh breishis. Rav Yehuda omer haro oseh yam agadol, omer berch sha'asa oseh yam agadol. If you see the big ocean, you make a bracha. Big ocean back then, of course, referred to the Mediterranean. Right. Bizman sharul leprakim. Now, all this is true, but in other words, you don't make the bracha every day, or every time you see it, but rather sharul leprakim, but only if you see it in intervals. Now, intervals means once every 30 days. Now, is this going back on everything mentioned in the Mishnah? Not clear. Not clear. The Tosfos over here discusses that, and it's a further discussion in the amongst the Rishonim and the Halacha, is if this is true by everything mentioned in the Mishnah. Al Agshamim v'al Basur Tovos Omer Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. Rain and good news, you say HaTov HaMeitiv. Al Basur Ra'os Omer Baruch Dainayemis. Bad news, you say Dainayemis. Bana Bayis Chadash. You build a new house. Sorry. V'kana Kelim Chadash. I'm a new clothing. Omer Baruch Shachianu v'kimanu v'igyanu lazman hazeh. You make a Baruch Shachianu. If it's bad, mixed in with a little bit of good, or vice versa, you make a bracha. What does that mean? Stay tuned, the Gemara will discuss. Hatzoik l'sha'avar. Now, crying over spilled milk, the Mishnah says, this is a Mishnah, says, don't do it. It's not going to help. And not only that, how is it tefillah shav? It's a wasted tefillah. It's a tefillah in vain. The Mishnah gives an example. Your wife is pregnant, and we're into the pregnancy. And to say now, I really hope that it's a male son, tefillah shav. Now, you know the question to ask over here. Right? Apparently, one of our matriarchs did exactly this. She prayed over a child for its gender to change after, right, while she was pregnant. Now, this is not told to us in the Pesukim, this is told to us by Midrashim. Okay, it's a question. Hayabo b'derech v'shama kol stavcha be'ir. So now you're coming home, you're on a trip, and you're coming home, and you hear a cry out of the city, v'omer. Yirat so shalei tebetoch be'si, harei ze tefillah shav. I hope that doesn't come out of my house. So the Gemara says that's a tefillah shav, meaning it came out of wherever it came out of. And for you now to pray like that, that's tefillah shav. And also, by the way, it's a little bit selfish. Right. Right. Look, I feel real bad, but I just kind of hope it's not. That's not me.
Correct.
But, okay. You go into the city, pray twice. Tefillah twice. Once going in, once coming out. And Benazi says four times altogether, two going in, two coming out. Okay? Stay tuned. We will discuss. Okay, now, here's how you should pray. Thank you for the past, and you can pray and concern yourself and cry for over something that has not yet happened. Now, brachas you should make over things that are good and things that are bad. The pasuk says, now what does it mean, all your hearts, in plural? So you got two hearts, you got a Yetzer Tov, you got a Yetzer Hara. Okay? So use both of them to love God. Use your Yetzer Hara to love God. Okay. We'll discuss that a little bit better later on. And b'chol nashecha means that even if you have to give up your life, right, that's correct. We're going to be seeing the Gemara shortly enough about Rabbi Kiva. Now, b'chol me'odecha means your money. Love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your money. And the reason why we're quoting all this now is because of this point right here. B'chol me'odecha could also come from the word midah. Every midah you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. You have to be moda over, meaning what seems to you to be a bad midah, right? I can't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that to me. Nope, it deserves a bracha. Now, the bracha is going to be a slightly different bracha. It won't be Atov Hametiv, it'll be dynamis, but recognize it's from Hashem. Lo Yakel Adam Asrosha Keneged Shar HaMizrach Shumechavim Keneged Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. When you go into the Shar HaMizrach, into the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Har HaBayis, so at that point in time, you should have now, don't be frivolous. Don't be silly. And now when you go into Har HaBayis, do not go in. Don't go in with a walking stick, with shoes, with a money belt, with dirt on your feet. And certainly don't make it a shortcut, because you want to get from point A to point B, and Har HaBayis would represent for you to be a shorter path. Do not do that. Now, does it go without saying that don't spit in the area of the Har HaBayis? Okay. Kavachomer. Kolchos mebrachos shebemikdash hayu omrim ad haolam. Now, in the first base of Mikdash, so whenever they would finish with a bracha, they would not answer amen in the base of Mikdash, but they would say ad haolam, or the other girsa has it as min haolam. Mishakilkalu atziduken, but now we move to the second temple. Now, in the second temple, you had a lot of heretical thinking. Tzedukim, Baitusim, Minim, a lot of heretical thinking during that second temple period. And for them, when they heard the words Baruch Hashem Min HaOlam, so they said, oh, God's in this world, but that's it. There's no world to come. There's no Tchias HaMesim, right? There's finality to this world. That was the heretical thought of this sectarian group. So Amru Ein Olam Ela Echad, that's what they said. So now the bracha, the response to a bracha in the Beis HaMikdash was modified to min haolam ve'ad haolam, meaning from world to world, because there's not only this world, there's also a world to come as well. Now there was another institution, a takana, that when you greet your friend, b'shem, using the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, in general, we're not allowed to use the name of God in vain. So one might think to themselves, I'll say hello to my friend. That's manners. But I won't say Shem Hashem. Say Shem Hashem. Shenema v'nei Boaz ba'mi beis lechem v'yom alakotzim Hashem imachem. This is Boaz talking to the harvesters. V'yom alo yivarechecha Hashem. And they responded. V'omer Hashem imcha gibor achayo. The Gemara quotes another pasuk. V'omer atavoz ki ziknecha imecha. Gemara quotes another pasuk in Mishlei. Eis v'omer eis lasos l'Hashem hefer sorasecha. Now the Gemara quotes this pasuk in Tehillim, and the pasuk Tehillim says that sometimes it looks like you're doing something incorrect or something wrong. There are times eis lasos l'Hashem. There are times hefer sorasecha where we have to break the Torah. We have to abrogate the Torah. Okay, now I talked about dangerous concepts. Here's another one for today, right? What the Mishnah is essentially saying is, well, I know it's not really appropriate, it's not really right, but Eis Lasos Hashem. But to greet somebody using Shem Hashem, good. Even though Hefer Sorasecha, now there's an interesting Rashi over here, and Rashi writes, as soon as I find it, I'll read it. It's the last Rashi on the Mishnah. Rashi writes, says, Pamim Shemavalim Divrei Torah Kidei Lasos Hashem. Sometimes you're mevatel Torah in order to do for Hashem. Av zeham is kamen l'shol l'shalom chavero, zeh ritzono shal makom. This is God's will. Shenam rabik bakishon v'adfeu, mutar la'afir Torah v'la'asos dvar hanira asar. You're allowed to do things which may look like you're doing something wrong, but it's not actually wrong. Okay. That Rashi is very interesting because it says hanira. It looks like you're doing something wrong, but it's not actually something wrong. Okay, stay tuned, because we're going to later on demonstrate another application of this rule of Eis Lasos Hashem. Okay, let's do a little bit more for today. Now, how do I know that I make a bracha on an ace? Yisro did. Anisa de rabbi mevarchina, anisa de yachalom mevarchina. Now, what about if it's a private ace? A person was saved from a lion. Also coming to Rava, now it goes to Rava, and Rava says, every single time you pass by that place, you make sure to make a bracha. And what happened was, is that he got thirsty for water and he was about to die from thirst. And out from nowhere pops a well, a spring, and he drinks the water and he's saved. He was attacked by a wild camel. Itparka lay ishtaya ala gave. A hole appears in the middle of a wall, and he walks right through that hole. Kimatal arvos barach barach shasil nes barvos uve gamal. Kimatal aristika de mechuzah barach barach shasil nes begamal uve arvos. And from that point forward, every time he passed by those places, he would make a bracha. So you see from these episodes over here, these anecdotes, that you're supposed to make a bracha even if it's a personal miracle. Amre anisa deramin kuleyama mechayv levruche. Well, it's very simple. If it's a tzibur miracle, so the tzibur makes a bracha, even though you yourself did not experience a miracle, but you're part of the tzibur, and the tzibur experienced a miracle. However, anisa diachid iuchayv levruche. But if it's only an individual who has benefited from a miracle, so only he has the obligation to make a bracha, but none other have the obligation to make a bracha. Okay, we'll stop here.